to share.
Yeah, that's wonderful, actually, that hopefully one of the symbols, it's not just what we teach, but what we do, is bring everybody together and to unite people. Because that's really what religion teaching should be doing. It's one of the things that if you hear anything here or elsewhere which divides a family, which divides one person from another, that cannot be truth. It's certainly not Buddhism. If it is truth, if it is spiritual, it is wise. It has to break down the barriers and bring people closer together, not divide people, families and nations. So use that as a little litmus test of whether the teachings you hear are being understood or not. If it divides people, one from the other, it's not Buddhism, it's not Dhamma.
I mean, we also from time to time have experiences, people come to us, and we nuns, or our Dhamma Sangha community, we sometimes have afternoon tea together. And people are surprised that they're able to sit with us on the chair next to each other. They don't have to sit on the floor, or they have to can sit with us around the coffee table and have a cup of coffee together. So it just shows that not only the differences between religions, but so much misunderstanding within our own tradition at times. I mean, Buddhist monks and nuns, I would say, the more simple you are, that shows really your true practice.
Any comments? Yeah, over there and over here. Okay, you got there first, because you're closer to the mic. Okay. Must be because we've gone over time. No, say what you want.
When my devoted Christian friends say to me that because I follow Buddhism, I'm not going to go to heaven, and I'm never know what would be a good answer to that.
You say yes, I am.
Well, but they say no, I'm not.
So yeah. Oh yes, I am. And they say, oh
well,
no, you're
say
not.
That, but they.
I say, well, just why do you worry what they say? So only good people go to heaven.
Yeah.
And Christianity has not got, no religion has got the franchise on goodness. That makes so much sense. What if you say that? You say, well, that means, you know, God was, no, it's not God. Jesus wasn't a Christian. He was a Jew, so he can't go to heaven. Sometimes you can be cheeky. I like being cheeky sometimes. You know, Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. He wasn't a Christian. So if only Christians can go to heaven, then Jesus didn't go to heaven. Yeah. We say most people don't believe that. But sometimes that people's belief, they say one thing, and they say, no, you will not go to heaven or whatever. Why do people even take that seriously? Everyone has their belief. As some people would say that, you know, Tony Abbott is the only real hope for Australia. Now, if you're a liberal, you'll believe that. If you're not, you won't. You're not really convinced by such speech. You make up your own mind. So the point is that whoever these people are, they're not speaking with authority. It's just their belief. So don't take their beliefs as authority.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay. So there's always some people who will not be able to be reconciled, but that's their choice. Okay, so thank you for having a big little bit of a Q&A session. Hope it was useful for you, because now at 3:30 we have the new Buddhist ceremony. So those of you who have come here to be take the three refuges and the five precepts for the first time, could you please come up, show yourselves? Please come forward. Oh, Bo, you're so lucky. Is there a list?
What's this on here?
Apparently, oh, here we are. Also, some people are taking it online. Very good. So those people online, thank you for waiting for 10 minutes. And for those people here, this is just a result of just what happens when you put these Friday night talks and Saturday afternoon meditation online. What's happened here is that we have, and hope you're all listening here, we have Joe Tummers from Holland, Sudamash Sarasenehal from USA, Rudita from Latvia, Jared from USA, Astrid from Germany, Daniel from Romania, Eric from USA, Thomas from USA, Kyle from USA, Gloria from China, Andy from USA, John from UK, Jason from USA, Stefan from Romania, Rebecca from Germany, Kendra from Canada, Joanna from Germany, Ulrich from Germany, Douglas from El Salvador, Robert from UK, Chris from Belgium, James from USA, Ian from UK, Ralph from Germany, Stuart from UK, James from USA, Mo from Canada, and Linda from USA. All over the world. Who find it difficult to get a temple close by to them. So they use this temple as their cyber temple, where not only can they listen to talks, not only can they ask questions after the talks and get into the afternoon meditation on Saturday, they can also go online on the forum to ask their questions. It's usually Ajahn Bhamali who's spent hours and hours answering those questions. So it's great to see that, you know, you members here, this is not just Perth, this really is international, that people actually are listening right now, and these people here are also taking the three refuges and the five precepts, just like you are here. Anywhere from El Salvador to Romania, Belgium, UK and Europe, taking it with you. So this is a wonderful thing to do. I remember when I first took my precepts, it does actually have a huge meaning to you. And to take those precepts, we have the little forms here. Not the forms, these are the things you have to be chanting. So if you want actually to pass these around so that each one of you has a copy, so you don't need to feel nervous. We're going to say them in Swahili. No, we're not. We're doing it in English. So you can say it in the local language. For those of you who are maybe Latvia or Romania, I hope you understand the English. So what we're going to do is we're going to be chanting these in English. I usually start and then I invite you to follow on with the English translation. Is there enough copies there? We'll just find out. Hopefully there's enough there. Has you got enough there to share? Sharing is wonderful. Please excuse me, I've got a copy here. Not that I don't know it, but I want to make sure I say the same words as you've got in front of you so I don't confuse you. So the first thing to do is usually to do the three bows. And remember, for those of you who have heard me teach here before, instead of just doing this as a homage which you don't understand, for the first bow I suggest you do as I do. I bow to virtue. Because virtue, goodness, trustworthiness, honesty is so important to me, as I hope it is to you, that when you bow to virtue, you can bow to something you can really put your head down to, you can worship. And the second time, bow down to peace. No peace in the world, peace in your family, more importantly, peace in your heart, because peace is something, again, which I found very easy to worship. And the third time, I usually sometimes flip between compassion and wisdom. They're basically the same, but I down to compassion. Because again, compassion is something which you can value and worship very easily. Every time you see someone act compassionately and caringly, it brings, you know, beautiful light into this world. So you can, I suggest to you, when you bow three times, to bow to virtue, to peace, and compassion. And by doing that, it means you're always remembering their importance. And the more you bow to virtue, to peace, and compassion, the more those qualities grow inside of you. You actually do become a more virtuous, peaceful, compassionate person, because you're remembering their importance every time you bow. So would you like to do the bowing now? As best you can. It's what's in your heart is more important than actually how you move your body. So I want to do three bows to virtue, to peace, and compassion. Now, if you turn to the second page, because we understand you already requested these, so we do the homage to the Buddha first of all. So this one we can actually all do together. I will chant this one with you. So are you ready? Okay. Homage to the Buddha. Sorry, homage to the blessed, noble, and perfectly enlightened one. Homage to the blessed, noble, and perfectly enlightened one. Homage to the blessed, noble, and perfectly enlightened one. Now I say one line and you repeat the line after me. To the Buddha I go for refuge. And hopefully online you are also doing this. To the Dhamma I go for refuge. To the Sangha I go for refuge. For the second time, to the Buddha I go for refuge. For the second time, to the Dhamma I go for refuge. For the second time, to the Sangha I go for refuge. For the third time, to the Buddha I go for refuge. For the third time, to the Dhamma I go for refuge. For the third time, to the Sangha, I go for refuge. This completes the going to the three refuges. Yes. Okay, that's good enough. Now we go to the heart of it, the five precepts. So I say the line first, and please you say it afterwards. I undertake the precept to refrain from destroying living creatures. I undertake the precept to refrain from taking what is not given. I undertake the precept to refrain from sexual misconduct. I undertake the precept to refrain from lying. I undertake the precept to refrain from intoxicating liquors, and I include here non-medicinal drugs which lead to carelessness. Very good. And now I give you the blessing. I'll give you the blessing in Pali. You can see the translation on the right hand side. Imani panchasi kapadani silena sukating yanti silena boga sampada silena niputing yanti tasma silang visodaye. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. So those are the three refuges and the five precepts, which they do lead to a lot of happiness in your life, a lot of sense of freedom. Because when you really know that you are a virtuous person, you don't go around killing beings, which means that beings know that they are not scared in your presence. You give them the gift of fearlessness. And it's a wonderful thing to sort of be a Buddhist monk who hasn't killed living beings for such a long time. The animals, even dogs and cats, they feel safe in your presence, even snakes, dangerous, venomous snakes. You don't feel scared in their presence because you're so harmless, they will never, ever harm you. And it's a wonderful living in the bush with your very long track record of not killing living beings. You feel so incredibly safe. And of course, in my life, I've come across many venomous snakes, both in places like Thailand and also down in Bodhinyana Monastery. There are some snakes there. Maybe once or twice a year you might see them, but they never harm monks. They don't need to. Just they know that these little brown beings walking through the forest bear them no harm or ill will at all and will never hurt them. So they never hurt us back. And it's wonderful just to know that one will only take what is given or will never steal from anybody. And that gives you this beautiful idea that you can leave things around and they won't be stolen. I love telling the story of going to Armadale Hardware shop once. And it was so full of customers. And I had a brochure which I wanted to open up. I tried to find a place I could open up the brochure. So quite inadvertently, I was actually behind the counter. I put it on their till. And I must have pressed the button. And all the money of the day's takings came out right in front of me. To all intents and purposes, it looked like I was robbing the shop. And all the builders and tradesmen, they stopped talking. The place went quiet. And one of the builders, pointing to me, said, "You better look at that guy." And the owner of the shop, Roy, said he can't even touch that stuff and walked away. He trusted me with the day's takings because he knew that I was virtuous and I would not steal. It's a wonderful thing to be able to trust somebody that you can leave your wallet open, all the money right in front of you, and you know they won't be taken. It'd be a great country, a great society if people didn't steal. And you're doing your bit to try and make that come about. And sexual misconduct, it doesn't mean if any of you are gay, you can't have a partner. It does not stop gay sex. What it stops is if you are gay, if you are straight, whoever you are, isn't it just breaking the trust of that relationship by having another partner, having a mistress, a boy on the side, because that really, really hurts. So if you have a relationship with someone, you keep to that relationship. You trust each other. So you don't cheat, and that's a sexual misconduct, you know, adultery, basically. And the next one is restrain from lying. That's very, very clear. But that also includes, I hope you were warned about this, it means that when you fill out your tax returns, you have to be honest. Okay, sometimes that's really unfair. The government doesn't deserve to get all of this stuff. Everybody else is cheating, but no, not you. You fill it out. Accurately, without any lying or deceit. And lastly, not taking alcohol or, again I said, non-medicinal drugs. If you're a diabetic or you've got a diabetic, you can take insulin. If you've got a headache, you can take an aspirin. This means things like cocaine, marijuana, speed, ecstasy, methamphetamines, and all that sort of stuff, which you don't really, really need. It does not include, when I first found this out, caffeine. So you can have a cup of coffee and a cup of tea. I was born in England, and if it was the case that as a Buddhist you could have a cup of tea, I would have never become a Buddhist. I'm sorry, but I like everything else about it. The same with Sri Lanka as well. They like their tea too. So yeah, you can have a cup of tea or coffee, but you know, no, nothing more than that. And also, obviously non-alcohol. It's great in our modern world. You don't have to have alcohol. You can still go to the pub. You can still enjoy yourself. Non-alcoholic beers and wines in restaurants. You have a wonderful time without needing to sort of take this alcohol. And the alcohol does affect your mindfulness, as every doctor knows. That's why in some jurisdictions they take the driving. If you have even any alcohol on your breath, you can get sort of fined. It's like zero alcohol if you have to drive. Or if you know a doctor performing an operation, because it does affect your mindfulness. It's one of the most wonderful things being a Buddhist, to be out on some Buddhist ceremony and get stopped by the booze bus. I always enjoy that when I've been out and my driver gets stopped by the booze bus and they get breathalyzed. To see the look, the look on the people's face when it says they're reading. Where you been? We went out to a party. Okay, breathe into this. What type of party you've been to? A Buddhist party. Because then, I mean, you don't have to be afraid of anything. So those are the three refuges and the five precepts. They do actually give you this beautiful purity. And, okay, here's this little story which I haven't told for a long time, because someone asked earlier about things like ghosts and spirits. There was, a long time ago, there was a Thai girl living here. She passed away some years ago, and she invited her mother to stay with her, because her mother was in Thailand, no one was looking after her. So her mother came over to Australia, and the Thai daughter looked after her. When her mother got very sick and was in, I think it was King Edward Hospital, the daughter was worrying whether her mother would actually survive this illness. So she went to a medium in Perth, paid $20. And the medium asked the daughter, in what hospital, what ward, what room is your mother? Because I will leave my body and go and check her condition and come back to you. So she paid $20 and this medium went in a trance. When she came to about 20 minutes later, the first thing she did was to give the money back to this daughter. And the daughter said, why? Couldn't you find her? She said, yeah, I found the hospital, I found the ward, I found the room, but I couldn't get in. Your mother had this force field around her. That's the only way I can describe it. I couldn't get close to her. I've never seen this before. Who is your mother? And that's when the daughter said, oh, she's a Buddhist nun. She's been a Buddhist nun for about 30, 40 years. And that's when the medium snatched the $20 back. You should have told me beforehand. People like me can't get close to people who are so virtuous. And that was actually an interesting story of something which I've known for a long time. You keep your precepts and you get protected. It's a spiritual truth which is very hard to explain to you, but that's what it feels like. You've got a force field around you which protects you because of the purity you have. You're spiritually very strong. That's one of the other things which happens to you from taking these precepts. Certainly, you know, things like spirits and ghosts, they're afraid of you because you are strong by the power of your virtue. So those are some of the things which happen to you, but also you feel really good about yourself. You are virtuous people, good people, trustworthy people. It's great even in business. I collect all these stories. There's one of the disciples over in Sydney. This is a very inspiring story. How he was keeping his five precepts. He was also had his own business, and he was doing a deal with some people from, I think it was from Taiwan. But having negotiated a contract, the directors from the firm over in Taiwan came to Sydney, you know, just to sign the contract. And as they discussed the final details, they'd agreed, we're ready to sign, but they said, we'll sign this evening. We want you to take us out tonight, to take us to a bar, a nightclub, at your expense, feed us alcohol, and supply us with prostitutes to sign the contract. But he was so shocked at this, he said, no, look, number one, I don't drink, I'm a Buddhist, I've got a wife, I'm not going to deal with prostitutes. And the business people got apparently very angry. So if you don't do this, we're not going to sign the contract. And he had this decision to make, to sign a contract which would be worth quite a few million dollars for his company, or keep his precepts. Because sometimes in business, in life, you are given these choices. He said, I'm not going to do this. He walked away with his contract unsigned. He said it just really hurt, because that was really important for his own company, just to keep it afloat. But more important was his virtue and his sense of integrity. He walked away depressed. But of course, all these stories have a happy ending. Otherwise, I wouldn't tell them. The one which doesn't have a happy ending, I never tell you guys. That evening, he got the phone call from the Taiwanese businessmen. They were at the pub still. They'd been talking. They said, we've been considering. It's more logical to do business with someone like you, who will not cheat on his wife. If you cheat on your wife, you're liable to cheat on us. If you're really virtuous and don't get drunk, you're liable to keep these secrets. Can we come round to your house and sign the contract? Which they did. Doesn't it make sense? If you're doing business, would you like to do business with someone who cheats on their wife? They're going to cheat on you. Doing business with virtuous people are people you can trust. And trust in business or in any relationships is the glue which keeps those connections sustainable over a long period of time. So he got his business signed, his contract signed, his business flourished, and he kept his virtue. So never take what you think is the easy option of breaking your precepts. Stand firm, and usually you become a winner on both ends, in life and in spirituality as well. So, have you got, before we give you some plessies, as we usually do, we like giving gifts, it's nice giving gifts, and you deserve it. Is there anything you want to ask about these precepts you've just taken? Or maybe I should say, if you break a precept, you don't need to go and flog yourself, or sort of, you know, do 3 namotassas or 10 namotassas in front of the Buddha statue, like in the Catholic Church. If you break a precept, number one, acknowledge, yes, you made a mistake. Forgive yourself, in other words, no guilt, and try to do better next time. Just learn from it. So you don't have to retake them again because you've broken one. These are, as they're called, training precepts. In other words, these are how we aspire to live our lives. And each one of you will break those precepts from time to time. With the best will in the world, you're not perfect. Sometimes, you know, without thinking, some mosquito, before you know it, I've killed a mosquito. Actually, I shouldn't have done that. That hurt. I've got to be a bit more careful. So instead, you know, you say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Let's try and be more mindful next time. That's all. No punishment, no guilt, okay? Because guilt has got nothing to do with Buddhism. So just learn. So it's okay to break a precept, as long as it's less and less frequently over the years. Have you got any questions you'd like to ask about the precepts? Yeah. 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 Indeed, yes. I mean, that is sexual misconduct, because you're breaking up a marriage. You may be single, but the other person is married. So you're breaking up the trust between somebody else. It's not a nice thing to... It certainly isn't. You know it doesn't feel good. And remember, that type of love you feel is usually lust, not love. You fall in lust, you don't really fall in love. And it's falling in infatuation. So please, don't do that, because that person has got a family. They've got a wife, usually kids. You're not just hurting one person, you're hurting a whole group of people. It's not worth it. So, and once you take those precepts, you don't allow that infatuation or that lust or that love to grow that far that you get put yourself in that position where you have to make a choice. This is the love of my life, the marriage to someone else, what should I do? Don't allow that sort of infatuation or that love to get to that point. As soon as you realize that person is married, they've got a partner, the line is already there, the wall is there, you don't cultivate those emotions to the point you fall in love. You can stop it early on if you really feel that this is crossing the line. You have. Maybe next time, yeah. But how many times, there's enough people here with enough years under their belt, have you thought you've married the love of your life and you realize it wasn't? You do make mistakes. So just because, oh, this is the one, this is the one. You've been there and done that before and it wasn't the one. Okay, so now we have these little gifts, and we have, I don't know whose idea this was, we even have certificates for you. First time we've done this. Anyhow, here they are. They've done this. A Buddhist certificate. Signed. First of all, Adinas, where are you? Adinas Henry? Actually, she's not here, did I come? Adinas never came? Okay, maybe she's online. Cameron! Cameron Muir? Yeah, ah, there we go. Very good. Very good. Thank you. Very good. You want to give a speech? Chris? Chris? Chris Senior Rico? Chris Senior? No, not here. Okay. Di. Ah, yes. You've got 50% so far. Di Newland? Elizabeth, you know. She's one of the original members from long ago, because when we first got into, she disappeared for a while, Dr. Elizabeth, and she brought her kids to stay in Bodhinyana the very first year, and when we had bunk beds down there, and I remember your kids were so excited at sleeping in bunk beds. It's really good to see you back again. Jeanette. Very good. Another laugh from the past. Very good. Lisa. Ah, oh, very good. Congratulations. Thank you. Very good. In here is more Buddhist propaganda. Some of my books. Lucy. Lucy? Lucy Morris? No? Okay. Megan. Ah, here we go. Very good. Hope you enjoy. Nice to have you on board. Michael. Here we go, Mike. Very good. Congratulations. Is it knee? Knee beams? Oh, yes, here we go. Did I pronounce it right? Nick. Oh, that's right, you're Nick. Sorry, Nick. Very nice t-shirt he's got there, because he's got a skull on his t-shirt, and that's really cool in Buddhism. That's called like a meditation on death. We must have that all the time.
He has rose in the skull.
Rose in the skull. From Thailand. Okay, very good. What does the rose mean? Death, okay, yeah, birth and death. Okay, very good. Lucy. Lucy Morris? No, Lucy. Norm. It's about time, Norm. His wife. His wife has been our committee member for how long? So she's finally badgered you with... No, done it on your own free will. Paul. Here we go. Welcome, Paul. You've been here a long time now as well, so well done. Peter. Peter Bickerton. Peter. No Peter here.
Ruth? Teresa? Very good. Congratulations. Now, there's a few people haven't got these yet because either they came late or we made mistakes, because we make mistakes. There's no Peter Bickerton here? Nothing like that? No Lucy Morris? No Chris? No Adinas? Who is here then? Who are the people who haven't got a certificate or a book yet? No, you haven't. Here, at least we can give you a gift. We'll get a certificate for you later on. For you? What's your name? Mandy. And? Steve? Yes. Sit, yes. And? For you. And? For you. Sue. And? Come on, you haven't got one. Exactly right. Very good. Okay, if you're the ones who haven't got a certificate yet, if you could let the secretary know. Where's Lucky? Lucky over there. Let her know. We've got some certificates free signed just in case, so you can get the names and put them on there, so we can give you the certificates during the tea time. We've got these ones over here who never came, but I'm sure that I'm very happy that Adinas, I know her, Chris, Lucy, Peter. What's only those four? Two, four. If you come, I can give you the precepts personally at a later time. And also, please have a round of applause for Joe from Holland, Sudamash from USA, Rudite from Latvia, Jared from USA, Astrid from Germany, Daniel from Romania, Eric from USA, Thomas Nelson, USA, Kyle from USA, Gloria from China, Andy from USA, John Stephen, UK, Jason, USA, Stefan, Romania, Rebecca Thompson from Germany, Kendra from Canada, Joanna from Germany, Ulrich from Germany, Douglas from El Salvador, Robert Alexander, UK, Chris from Belgium, James from USA, Ian from UK, Ian Wilson, Ralph from Germany, Stuart from UK, James from USA, Mo from Canada, and Linda Nico from USA, who have now done these five precepts online. Welcome, congratulations. Now, for those of you who just become new Buddhists, you get special attention, a special tea just for you. No one else except our committee members is allowed to come into the special, exclusive, once-in-a-lifetime tea with the committee and the Sangha. All you other riffraff. Oh, I didn't mean that. You're not riffraff. Please, everyone else, tea and coffee, whatever you want, is provided in the reception area. For those people taking the three refuges and the five precepts for the first time, please, if you'd like to come, it's usually in the room. Lucky, is it in the room next door? Yes, okay, next here. So some something to eat and something to drink, and a good company of the Sangha and the committee will be there for you. So thank you very much for coming so far, and especially I'm sorry those people are online. You know, if we could have some online tea and coffee to email to you, we would do that. We can't, but look, whenever you are over in Perth, please come in. Whenever I'm travelling overseas, and if those in Germany, I'll be in Frankfurt in July. So if you can come and see me in Frankfurt, that'd be wonderful. And those of you here, please have a nice cup of tea. The next part of the ceremonies is 5:30, I believe. We have the children's performance from our Dhamma school, and that'll be followed at 6 o'clock with a ceremony of a flower puja, followed by the circumambulation. So please, we can break now for a cup of tea. And those of you who have become members, it's the first room on your right as you go out here. Very good. So let's now bow to the Buddha, 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 leave.